You might want to turn in your Bibles over to the book of Ecclesiastes. This morning I'm calling Ecclesiastes the social experiment for the ages. And of course there's a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes that are more words of wisdom similar to what we see in the Proverbs. But sort of the main theme of the book beginning and the final conclusion is a set of social experiments that Solomon conducted and wrote his results up in this book, Ecclesiastes, which simply means the preacher. And at the start of the book, he refers to himself as the preacher. And then he writes up his conclusions based on his experiments. If you look with me in the first 11 verses of that book, Solomon wrote, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all of his work, which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. Blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular course the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, 'See, this is new'? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still." You know, some people believe the book of Ecclesiastes is a depressing book, okay? And it can be depressing if you just pick sections out and read them and look at some dire conclusions that the preacher comes to. It could be a depressing book. But the message of the book of Ecclesiastes is not a depressing message. There are important lessons that we need to learn, and there is one primary question that Solomon wanted an answer to. What makes this seemingly futile existence worthwhile and meaningful? And I think men throughout the ages have asked that question. I think most of us have asked ourselves that question at times of our lives. And certainly there are a lot of people around us that are wondering, really, what's life all about? And sometimes what we see in the immediate here and now is, it could be some pretty depressing circumstances. And we think, if this is all there is, if this is all I've got to look forward to, then what's it all about? What's it worth? He does some self-experimentation. And I will tell you that self-experimentation can be dangerous. Sometimes we'll turn the TV on and there will be someone doing some dangerous feats, maybe on America's Got Talent. Someone will jump off of a 20 or 30 foot platform into a baby pool of water or jello or something, you know, and they always come up on the screen and the announcer always says, "Don't try this at home," you know. We used to watch Evel Knievel when I was a kid, you know, and they say, "Don't try this at home," you know. It's not the kind of thing the average person wants to be involved in. Self-experimentation can be dangerous. Back in the late 1800s, a physician from Johns Hopkins University and Hospital named Jesse William Lazier went down to Cuba. And in the year 1900, he was there with Walter Reed and some other researchers. They were trying to get a handle on the yellow fever problem and the malaria problem. And they were wondering why so many workers that went down there were dying of these diseases. And so Jesse Lazier sent a letter to his wife and said, "I think I'm onto something. I think I'm close. I think I can move in on this germ that's causing this problem. After he wrote that letter, he allowed a mosquito that he knew was infected with yellow fever to bite him. And it was a fatal mistake. I don't know if he thought they could treat him out of it if he did become ill, but 2.5 weeks later, he was dead. Self-experimentation can be dangerous. When I did a little research on that, there are lots of cases of people doing dangerous experiments on other people. And that was bad enough, you know, without their knowledge. That was bad enough. But this fellow experimented on himself, and it turned out to be fatal. When I was a young man, I read a book, and I would recommend it to anybody. I think it's sort of a timeless book. But it was a book called Black Like Me. And there was a fellow by the name of John Howard Griffin in 1959 who took some drugs and laid under sun lamps 15 hours a day and so forth for some time in order to darken his skin. Then for about 6 or 8 weeks, he traveled across the Deep South in 1959 as a black man. He never told anybody he was black. He didn't change his name. He just traveled around as himself, but everybody assumed he was black. He looked black, and he associated with other black people and so forth. And he wrote a fascinating book about the black experience in the Deep South in 1959, and I'm telling you, it is enlightening. It was enlightening for me. But, you know, that was a dangerous undertaking. People who, and this was a social experiment, similar to what Solomon did on himself, and even those can be dangerous. And we need to be very careful. Now, I would tell you that when you look at the things that Solomon did in order to learn the things that he learned to write for us and leave for us are things you don't want to do at home. And all you have to do is look at the life of Solomon, and it wouldn't be a stretch to say that many of the decisions that he made in his own personal life destroyed him personally and spiritually and ended up splitting his kingdom after his death because of the poor decisions that he made. The things that he chose to engage in were not good for him. And the reason he left the book of Ecclesiastes for us is so we can avoid his mistakes. You may be wondering about our scripture reading this morning, where Paul's talking over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about not being guilty of unbelief like some in the past who were punished by God because they did that. We need to look back to the mistakes of the past. And I would suggest that some of the behaviors and some of the lifestyles that Solomon engaged in order to conduct this study were unacceptable behaviors. And if we are foolish enough to insist on making those mistakes ourselves, we are indeed fools. We need to learn from the learning of others in the past. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. Solomon was uniquely qualified for a project like this. I'm not sure that any other man around, before or in his time or since, could have done a better job of conducting an experiment like this. God had granted him with profound wisdom. You recall when he was a new king and he was humble and he was concerned about even being up to the task, and God asked him what he wanted, and instead of asking for riches and honor and all of those things, he asked for the wisdom to guide God's people, and God was impressed and gave him that. In 1 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. Now in a few minutes, In our 1050 session, we're going to talk about the value of extensive learning and wisdom and the limitations and so forth. But just keep in the back of your mind whether you know anybody that ever remembered who Ethan the Ezrahite was or Heman. What are their great vast wisdom and knowledge do for them? You know, nobody knows who they are anymore. The only reason we know about Solomon is because he's been immortalized in the writings of Scripture, and we read that and study that for our benefit. But these people who devoted themselves to wisdom and understanding are nobodies now. Nobody remembers who they were. And I think that's going to be part of Solomon's point. And then God gave Solomon great wealth. And so he was not only a wise, intelligent man who had the intelligence to be able to study himself and study these broad aspects of life and the effect of those in his life, but he also had the money, the resources to support his studies. In 1 Kings 3, beginning in verse 12, behold, Solomon said, I have done according to your words. I'm God telling Solomon, I've done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. Okay. Now, Solomon set out to do some tests. And he really wanted to answer this question, what's life all about? What can give a life that's apparently so futile and meaningless, what can give it meaning? What can give it significance? And so he set out to investigate four areas. Number one, wisdom, knowledge. If I pursue wisdom to the fullest extent and I do my best to understand the natural world around me and understand human nature and why they do the things they do, and I attain to this highest possible level of wisdom, is that what will give me fulfillment in my life? That's hypothesis number one. Number two, pleasure. And he was certainly had the financial resources to be able to test that. And there are people today who immerse themselves in seeking pleasure and the next fun thing around the corner to keep themselves entertained. And Solomon asked that question, is that what it's all about? Can I heap so much pleasure and enjoyment on myself? Can I fulfill my every desire and that give me a fulfilled and meaningful life? Is that what it's all about? Or what about possessions? What if I heap upon myself everything my heart desires and own vast amounts of wealth? Is that going to bring me happiness and fulfillment in this life? And finally, what about work? Well, I mean, if I can accomplish great things, if I can build monuments to myself that will be lasting long after my death, so that people still speak my name, I can sort of live an immortal life through the things that I've accomplished, is that going to give meaning to my life? And I would suggest that there are people today who on any number of these that we've talked about have looked to those things and said, that's what my life's going to be all about. And when I leave, people are going to know who I was, because they're going to see the great things that I accomplished in my work. No one could ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, look at the things that Solomon did in his life and the conclusions that he came to and say, Solomon didn't study that to the extent that he should have. He didn't go to the extremes that he should have, okay? He wasn't rich enough. He didn't enjoy the pleasures of this life to a full enough extent to really be an authority on that. And on, the amount of wisdom that he had, the kind of works he was able to accomplish. Nobody can ever say this is an incomplete study. We're going to look at this study in more detail in a 10:50 session. But nobody can look back at the things that Solomon did and the things that he wrote and take the position that he didn't explore them fully. He experienced these things to the extreme before he came to his conclusions. Most people today who devote themselves to these things, either trying to amass wisdom and knowledge for themselves, or immersing themselves in pleasure, or gaining as much of the material things of this life as they can possibly get their hands on, or trying to build great works and great accomplishments for which they will be remembered, most people in this life don't reach the extent that Solomon reached in the things that he did in his life. And so people who are striving to live satisfying lives through their pursuit of wisdom or pleasure or possessions or in the work that they do barely scratch the surface compared to Solomon. And so we really ought to be looking at the writings of Solomon with a discriminating eye and a serious look, and really try to learn from the things that he learned, that he left for us. If we don't, we will waste our lives in things that have no meaning. And there is no excuse for it when somebody's already been down that road and left us the results. And it was for our good. I can't tell you how much hand that God had in all of this, because Solomon doesn't say. He certainly engaged in some things that I'm sure God didn't find particularly pleasing. And yet we have the book of Ecclesiastes for our benefit I'm not going to answer that question because there is no answer. But I know what Solomon did. I know what his conclusions were. And we need to be learning from those conclusions. The question for us this morning is, and we're going to study these in more detail in our next session, but at this point, the question for us is, how have we been spending our lives up to this point? And if you're here in this assembly, you're not a Christian, all of us ought to be asking that question, but you certainly ought to be asking, where have I been devoting my time? And have I been devoting my time to worthwhile things, the kind of things that my Creator would want me involved in? Or do you have changes you need to make in your life? You know, the gospel is God's power to save. It can change you. Romans 1:16, verse 17 says, therein the righteousness of God is revealed. God has revealed to us what his righteousness looks like. And you and I both need to be comparing our lives and the way we've lived them up to this point to the righteousness that God has revealed to us through his gospel. And if your life doesn't measure up, if you're not a Christian, you're guilty of every sin you've ever committed against your Creator. And you need to get rid of that. You need to repent of those things, confess his Son as Lord, and be baptized into Christ. Have those sins washed away so that you can be a new creation of God. Set out to live your life the way God wants you to live it, and you will be enriched in this life and in the life that is to come. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, come forward and let us know while we stand together and sing.